This is basically the 17th chapter of 1 Samuel with some deletions. Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soko in Judah. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. For 40 days the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines." Early in the morning, David left the flock in the care of a shepherd, loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other. David left his things with the keeper of supplies, ran to the battle lines, and asked his brothers how they were. As he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. Whenever the Israelites saw the man, they all fled from him in great fear. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I'm not used to them." So he took them off. And then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, and I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." All those gathered here will know that it was not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. Here ends today's scripture.
And now from Mark, a short reading. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him up and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." The wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I used to manage a small manufacturing department in Grand Rapids. We made instruments for airplanes and directional equipment. We sold to a lot of big companies like GE Aviation and Honeywell Aerospace. I had one customer who sent an inspector to my plant every time I wanted to ship something. This customer required that I filled out a report page after page after page, listing what measurements did I get, how thousandths of an inch, and what was it plus or minus. What metal did I use, and where was the metal smelted? In the United States? Okay, I could use it. The paint. Who manufactured the paint? When was it made? When did it expire? Who made the glue that I used? I had to put all of this stuff in this report. There were so many questions and opportunities for me to make a big mistake, and the report made me nervous. If I missed something, if I messed up, I couldn't ship the parts. And I'd have to go to my boss, the general manager, and tell him that that $5,000 order wasn't coming in. But you know, the report really wasn't the worst part. The inspector was. I'll call him Inspector Gadget. He would show up, and I'd be sick to my stomach that whole morning while waiting for him to get there. My mouth got dry. I couldn't think. I was a wreck. And I kind of looked at him like Goliath. Now, was this guy 6 cubits tall? No. And by the way, a cubit is the measurement from your tip of your finger to your elbow. So 6 of those, that's a big guy. But anyways, my inspector wasn't very tall, and he didn't have a helmet and fish scale armor and shin guards. What he had was briefcases. Not just nice little square briefcases. He had briefcases the size of duffel bags with big shoulder straps on them, and they were full. The leather was worn. You could tell this guy had traveled with this stuff a lot. And he'd page me, and I'd go down to the front door to get him, and he'd pick up those briefcases and hike them onto his shoulder. Ugh. And I'm just a wreck. As I'm walking in front of him, taking him to my desk, I'm thinking, oh, did I do all of this stuff right? And what would happen is I'd get belligerent. I was downright nasty to this guy. By the time we got to my desk, I was worthless. I forgot where I put the relevant papers. I didn't know how to prove to him that I'd made them just the way I was supposed to make them. And then I started to think, now wait a minute, is this guy really a Goliath armored in today's technology? And what could I do to stop being afraid of him? What could I do facing this fear that would make a change? Well, I say let's look at our two stories. Fear-filled people. A whole army standing there waiting while this one guy came out front morning and night hurling insults. And in Mark, we have the story of Jesus at the end of a very long day. They climb in the boat and he goes to sleep. And the disciples are terrified by the storm and the water coming in the boat. And they seem to forget that everything they'd experienced with Jesus as they walked with him and worked with him was amazing. They seem to forget, and they were afraid. And out of their fear, they responded with anger. They didn't gently go and wake him up. Excuse me, Jesus, we're kind of scared here. Would you come and sit with us? They shouted at him, teacher, get up. What's the matter? Don't you care that we're going to die? I think they, first of all, were trying to shift the responsibility. Teacher, you're in charge. You make this bad thing go away. Because we don't have to do anything. And I kind of looked up on Google how many times people are fearful in our scriptures and how many times they're told not to fear. And it's actually more times than we're told to love God. 73 times in the Hebrew and the Second Testaments, fear not. Stop being afraid. No matter what. And the disciples forgot that. But in our story about David, we have a young boy who didn't forget. He's got confidence that he can face this big, scary thing. Now, my Goliath at work, my Inspector Gadget, was just a guy with really big briefcases. And Goliath in our story is just a really big guy with really fancy armor. But day after day, the entire army stands there, dismayed and afraid. Well, at that time, battles were often fought one-on-one. I'll send out my biggest guy, you send out your biggest guy, and they'll beat each other up, and whoever wins, that's the end of it. So that's why day after day, Goliath stood out in front of the Philistines, shouting insults, intimidating. And intimidation tactics work. They worked then in this story. They work today. A movie came out not too long ago called Bully. It followed around several young people as they were being bullied by people in their community, in their school, even their teachers. And their lives were so miserable that for some of them, suicide seemed the way out. Bullying seems to become common today and allowable. And I think it's our job maybe to intervene and to stand up and say, this has got to stop. But as a society, we seem to be dismayed and afraid. So how do we approach these modern-day Goliaths, wherever they may be, with briefcases or awful words? David used what he knew, what he was comfortable with. And perhaps we can take a lesson from that. Because in our story, Saul said, wait, here, put on my armor. And so I can picture David as each piece gets put on, and he's shrinking a little more and a little more. And he says, wait a minute, I can't wear this armor. This isn't going to work for me. I'm going to use what I know. David placed his confidence in God. And the Bible is full of promises that God is never going to leave us. So David had that confidence, knowledge, and faith that he was not going to act alone when he ran out there. He said to Saul, the God who saved me from a lion and a bear is going to go out there with me. Now David took off the armor and went to the stream bed and chose 5 stones. And I picture him as he's bending over and carefully selecting just the right stone. Yeah, that's pretty good. It's nice and round. It'll fly true. It's heavy. And I'm thinking he's got to be praying like mad. Okay, God, this guy is kind of scary. We're talking bears, lions, and Goliaths. Puts the stone in his bag. And as they approached one another, they're yelling insults back and forth. And then David did a remarkable thing. He ran at Goliath. He had so much confidence that this was going to work. The stone left the sling, found its mark deep in the forehead of the giant, who fell face forward and died. Now, do I believe that God threw that stone for David? I don't know. I wasn't there. Do I think God would stop a bully today if I pray? Or maybe am I supposed to step in? I think we need to look at the tool that Jesus used in the boat, in the storm. He used what he had at hand, prayer, said confidently, peace, be still. Peace, be still. Now, do I believe that this story about stopping a storm is historically true? I don't know, I wasn't there. But I know that the Native Americans say the story might not have happened exactly this way, but I know the story is true. I do believe this story is true. True that we're not alone. True that God is with us every step of the way in every rocky boat that we are in. There's truth that we can have confidence in the promises we read in our story. And I believe that we need to use the tools that we're familiar with. Choose our own 5 smooth stones to combat the Goliaths in everyday life. You were given the chance today to choose a stone when you came in the sanctuary. It has a word written on it. It says either promise, confidence, community, action, or love. Words we're all familiar with, but we may not see them as tools we can use. But I think maybe they are. Promise. Our stories promise From beginning to end, God will never forsake us. Confidence. Trust that that promise is meant for each one of us. Community. This body of believers, Cadillac First Congregational United Church of Christ, stands with you and behind you in prayer, ready to do battle with you no matter what it is you face. Action. Often we think maybe we should do something, and we kind of back up. We're a little afraid. But look at that stone, if that's the one you've chosen, because it's the stone that's going home with you for a reason. Maybe you need just a little kick in the butt to get out there. I encourage you and invite you to use that urge to act. Gather all of your tools that you have in your bag. Run toward whatever Goliath it is, because you may surprise yourself when the giant falls down. And the last word, love. Love for our fellow travelers in this boat of life. Love based on God's love for all of humanity. Love that impels us to act with confidence, armed with the backing of a community that knows the promise of God is for not just us, but for everyone. These are tools we can claim as our own. So pick up your stones, put them in your bag, keep watching for giants. I predict victory.